and welcome back. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. Let's face it, social media influencers are taking over the world. Influencers have become important to brands and marketers. Digital marketers are constantly on the lookout for popular social media influencers with whom to collaborate. Influencer marketing can increase the visibility of your brand and strengthen your image. Turns out that nearly three quarters of Gen Z and millennials in the U.S. follow influencers on social media, and the majority said they trust influencers more than their favorite celebrities when it comes to advice about brands or products. So this new profession seems like it's here to stay. Joining us now are two very strong influencers from this part of the country. Brittany Null is known for her Brits Space on YouTube, which now has 368,000 subscribers and another 81,000 followers on Instagram. Britt, welcome. Are those numbers accurate or am I too low?
No, you're definitely not too low. Thank you so much.
Lisa Wynn's also here. She's a Wichita native. She's amassed 1.6 million followers on TikTok, where people watch her trial and error cooking tests and her spicy challenge videos. Lisa, it's nice to have you too. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Britt, what makes someone a social media influencer?
Well, I personally prefer the term digital content creator, but as a general rule, the definition of an influencer is a person that uses social media marketing for endorsements, partnerships. Basically, we peddle things online.
If anyone comes to you to peddle something, will you take anybody or not?
Well, no, it definitely depends on the product and, you know, the purpose and the person.
You use some discernment here.
Very much so.
Lisa, do you do this full time?
I do, yeah. Full-time.
Yeah. How do you define someone who's a social media influencer?
I would say they would have a social media presence. They create content and they've curated a following that, you know, trusts their judgment and their knowledge.
Well, your following depended a lot on eating really spicy food, and you're here to tell us about it. You survived. I watched some of those videos last night. I couldn't believe what you were doing.
Yeah. Would you like to do a spicy challenge with me?
No. Okay. I have no interest in that.
I brought some peppers if you'd like.
You did not. But you had tears running down your eyes a few times. Why do you think people took to that the way they did?
Just because, well, entertainment value, and other people, they don't want to be in that pain, but it's really entertaining to watch someone else cry and get a head rush, and they get entertainment out of that. I see it.
Well, we have a clip here from your spicy challenge part one, just to give our listeners a sense of what this sounds like. Here's Lisa Wynn attempting the spicy challenge part one.
It's the moment you've all been waiting for. Well, at least some of you. Today, I'm attempting Thai Orchid's spicy noodle challenge using 4 ounces of their roasted Thai chili flakes and instant ramen noodles. We're going to see if all my prep has been worth it.
Okay, I've got sugar. Someone commented that this may help with the burn. I've got some milk as well. I don't know if this is gonna be enough. And I've also got some ice cream. Someone told me that might help. Before we start with it, I'm gonna protect my lips with some chapstick. Can I take this big of a bite on my first one? That was bad. I don't think I can do it, guys. I can't do it. Oh my gosh. I'm tingling all the way down to my knees this time. Guys, this hurts a lot. Oh no. I am going to have to tap out. Okay, I'll try one more bite. I feel bad for tapping out. I did all that work for nothing.
Did you tap out?
I tapped out on that one.
On that one. But you did a bunch of others.
Yeah, I spent an additional 22 days to work my way back up. So I built my spice tolerance, and last month I was able to take on the challenge and conquer it.
And so you can build a spice tolerance. You can overcome it, you're saying.
Yes, you can definitely build it.
What influence did those videos have on attracting YouTube followers? Because your numbers really shot up after that.
Yeah, for sure. Creating series on YouTube helps a lot in building a relationship and a journey with the follower. They want to join you on the journey to see if you can beat the challenge, basically. But yeah, it helped me grow from zero to over 3.5 million subscribers just by like doing that series, a bunch of other different series. So
yeah. Well, I'm wondering, Britt, how much money can you make being a social media influencer? What are you finding out?
Oh my. Well, it's big. It's kind of a range, actually. I think sometimes people hear influencer and they think, you're making millions. You can, but it just depends on how much you're working, who you're partnering with. you know, what projects you're working on.
And you're doing this full time as well?
I am doing it full time as well, yes.
And what does that mean? And what's how focused on this are you?
Well, it is my full time job. And so it's funny because a lot of times people think like, oh, social media influence, you just take a couple pics, you throw it up, it's fine. But to curate your social media on multiple platforms, it actually takes quite a bit of time. So my day kind of looks like planning out my social, planning out what posts I'm going to create, what content, and then it's actually creating the content. So making the YouTube videos, editing them, re-editing them.
I was going to say, editing is really key to all this, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. You can shoot a great project, but if you don't know how to edit it and make it come to life, it's just going to be sort of flat.
Where did you learn all that?
YouTube. I taught myself how to edit, yeah.
Did you really?
Yes.
And you shoot yourself for the most part, too, don't
I do.
You? Just from watching? Yeah.
There's also other things like Skillshare. You can take Skillshare classes and learn how to do things. But yeah, I actually learned how to edit via YouTube videos.
So for you, the key for growing the number of followers you have is what exactly?
Consistency. And
meaning consistency?
Consistently
meaning
posting, yeah. So if
every day, a couple times a day?
More, definitely more than that. I mean, if it's your full-time gig and it's really something that you want to grow, you need to be on every day like you would at a job. So I post throughout my day. I'll post a little in the morning on Instagram stories. I'll put up a TikTok. Maybe I post in the afternoon. I post all day, honestly. And then within that, I'll be creating content too. So I'll have some days where I don't post as much because those are my days that I'm creating. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have days where I'm posting my content. So
how about candor with your followers and being candid about your life? How far are you willing to go?
I'm pretty open.
Yes, I've noticed.
But to a point, I definitely have boundaries and things I don't share. And I also am very careful with my kids and sharing like what they're comfortable with too as they're getting older. But yeah, I do enjoy having like an authentic friendship experience with my followers. They do feel like friends. A lot of them have been around for a long time following me, which I'm so grateful for. And so it feels like I'm talking to actual friends.
You just use an interesting word there, authentic. Mm-hmm. It's got to be authentic, doesn't it? This can't be a lot of false stuff flying around. It's got to be something real about it.
I mean, for me, yeah, because it's hard for me to get up and show myself on the internet and not be somewhat real with it. So I think for me, being authentic is really the only way I can show up and do it every day.
Yeah.
And I think that it draws people to you. You know, we're all vulnerable in a way, and it helps to see someone else being willing to be open and vulnerable.
What have you been honest about? For people who are listening who aren't familiar with you, Britt, what have you been honest about on your videos?
I'm a lifestyle content creator, so I share a lot of my everyday life. And so that entails having kids. I've shared that experience. I went through a divorce. I've shared about that. I've shared a lot of ups and downs, like losing loved ones, you know, just like everyday life. When you're a lifestyle content creator and you share that, you share personal things sometimes.
Lisa, what's been the key for you in terms of growing the number of followers you have to this crazy number? What I said, 1.8 million on you have going on here? Yeah.
I do like the word authenticity. It also builds relatability with your followers. I think seeing another person out there dealing with the same struggles that you have builds that relatability. They want to follow you and see how you get through those struggles. I've talked about my mental health. I've talked about my insecurities, and that helps build that relationship with the follower and the viewer.
Hey, how lucrative of a career are you finding this to be?
Right now, I would have to say I'm pretty comfortable. The bulk of my income comes from YouTube and brand deals. I've been fortunate enough to hire a videographer. I'm looking for an assistant now.
Wow.
I can travel for food adventures quite often. I just came back from Mexico City last night. I've got Alaska next week, and I've just been really fortunate.
Is this the next iteration of what you're doing, these travels and adventures you're taking around the world?
Yes. I want to do collabs with chefs and cooks across the country, across the world. I want to share their culture and their food because I know that there are a bunch of people out there who may never get to travel like this, and I want to share those experiences with them.
You know, this is amazing because if I understand correctly, when you started all this, you couldn't make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And now suddenly cooking and food is becoming central to your life.
Correct. Yeah. Basically, I was eating instant ramen every single day.
Which is how you started, right?
Yeah, and everyone loved it. But my body's like, you know, Lisa, we probably shouldn't eat all this sodium every day. So I learned how to start cooking eggs, slowly working my way up to steak. And then Just learn.
Really hard stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'm laughing because I can't do much of that either. Sure. So it's on me too. Yeah.
Yeah. The internet is so giving. Like everyone's like, you should try this. You should try this. So as a content creator, I've gotten endless content ideas, basically.
So what drew you to cooking as someone who wasn't naturally interested in it to begin with?
Prior to the pandemic, I was going to restaurants and shooting and highlighting family-owned restaurants. And I love food. Growing up in my family, my parents cooked amazing Vietnamese dishes.
You like to eat it, but not so much make it.
Correct. Yeah. I would watch my mom cook it, but then not actually process any of it. But I just love food. And it's something that I felt like I also wanted to learn how to do.
So where did the spicy challenge then, where did that come from?
It came from
a friend suggested to you, or yeah.
It's actually a restaurant in Kansas City, Thai Orchid.
Oh yeah. I know Thai Orchid.
Yeah.
I like Thai Orchid.
Yeah, they're trying to grow their social media presence. So we were consulting and they're like, let's do the spicy challenge. And they asked me, do you want to be the first person? I was like, sure, I'll do that. But when I came by to the restaurant, they're like, here it is. It's 4 ounces of Thai chili flakes. And I looked at it and I just thought, there's just no way I can just go straight up and do that. So in my head on my drive home, I just thought it'd be cool to create like a quick series of how to build my spice tolerance. And that's really just how it happened.
You know, Britt, how much competition is there in the world of social media influencers? I mean, a lot of people are trying to do this, aren't they?
A lot of people compete. I do not. I think there's space for everyone because we're all telling a story. And ultimately, I see it as storytelling. Social media gives us all a little stage to share our stories, whether that's big, small. You know, I might be telling the story of a brand for a sponsorship, and I might be telling the story of my day. But ultimately, it's storytelling. So I don't see it as a competition. I think that there truly is room for everyone. And I think if you're creative and you are passionate about what you're sharing, that it's just fun.
What made you think back a year or two ago that you could do this? What got you going, got you started? What made Britt think that she could be a social media influencer?
Honestly, I came into this years ago when social media influencing wasn't a thing. So it was a hobby, honestly.
You just started doing it.
It was just for fun. Yeah, I was just like, let's share. Let's take some pictures. I love taking pictures. And so when I got on Instagram day one, I was like, ooh, pictures of just random stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Paul Nakatura, our announcer, is willing to take the pepper challenge at some point on the air.
Are they already here? You said they're here?
I would totally take the pepper challenge. Yeah. I love spicy.
You have stuff right now? She doesn't really.
Yeah.
Paul, we'll have to do this after the show sometime.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. She was just talking about it. I was going to try to choke through my next break.
I should have.
Yeah. I should have said as much. This is so interesting to me, Britt. Nearly three quarters, I mentioned in the opening, of all Gen Zers and millennials in this country follow influencers on social media. I mean, that's a staggering percentage to me. Why has the idea of influencers taken off the way it has? And what kind of responsibility does that put on your shoulders?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think that it's just the idea of relatability. Like you mentioned, you know, I'm more likely to buy a product from a company that my friend has said she loves, you know? And so I think it's that relatability of if you follow someone, you see their daily life, and then they share a favorite lipstick or whatever with you, you're more likely to buy it. And so I think that's why this has taken off. What does that responsibility look like on my shoulders? Well, I take it seriously. So if I'm endorsing something, I make sure that I've actually used it.
Yeah. I mean, the question is going to become really quickly, how do your followers know for sure that you really believe in a product as opposed to, you know, you're just trying to make some money here?
I think that's where it goes back to authenticity and the way you've curated your social media. So for me,
and the trust level you've
exactly
developed.
And the trust level. So I'm very open. Like, I'll let my followers know, hey, this is a sponsored post. I use this, and a lot of times they've seen me use it because I'll use it in my vlogs or I'm talking about it already. And then I'll talk about things I don't like. I also like to talk about current issues and other stuff other than just fun stuff. You know, mm-hmm. I like to talk about real stuff, the real deal. So I think that a relationship is necessary.
So these days then, how often are manufacturers, companies hitting you up to push one product or another? Is it coming at you pretty steadily right now? Or
I would say I have brands reach out daily to me, and I turn a lot of things down.
Lisa's nodding her head too.
Yeah. So you turn a lot of things down. But yeah, this is the new wave of marketing, honestly. I think brands are putting a lot of their budget in influencer marketing.
So like What are some of the types of products that have come across your radar screen in recent days?
Well, currently for me, I'm working on a partnership. It's all about back to school because I have kids. And so brands are reaching out to help them share their back to school specials or their back to school prompts. And as moms and other moms I know that follow me, I like to be helpful. And so when I'm sharing back to school content, I will put sponsored stuff in there. But for me, it's fun to take my followers along for the process and the journey.
And what do these offers look like? Do you get phone calls? Do you get emails? Do you get letters saying, hey, Britt, we would like to talk to you about X, Y, and Z? And what does that look like? And here, what does the money look like?
Well, it like I said, it's a range. Usually what happens is a brand will send you an email or an agency will say, hey, we saw your social. We think you'd be great for this campaign. Are you interested? And then they'll list what they would like you to do. It's usually called a deliverable. So rather it's like, hey, we would love for you to share about back to school. We'd love you to do an Instagram post, a reel. They'll list it. And then you will let them know your rate. There's a lot of back and forth. So that's the back end that people don't see. They think you just post a picture and that's it. But usually there's a ton of emails. There's concepts that you have to write. Brands want to know what you're going to advertise. They don't want to just put you out there with no script.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a full-time job.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's a lot to manage.
Sometimes it's more than a 40-hour week. I notice that I work more than just 9 to 5, and that's where the boundaries have to come in because it's wild. You can work all the time.
And again, Lisa, you're nodding your head as Britt's talking here. You can relate to a lot of this.
Yeah, I work quite a bit. Anytime I'm eating or going out to eat, I'm filming constantly. I'm thinking about content ideas. I'm editing. It's just an ongoing process all the time.
Are you the one going through all the offers you're receiving to pitch and promote one product or another?
I was up until last week. I just signed with a talent agency. So
wow.
Yeah, basically they'll just bring the offers that they think are the best fit for my channel. And then I get to say, yeah, I'll work with them. I get to pick and choose. I've been very picky with my brand deals. And I think that's what builds the trust with your audience is they want to make sure you're actually picking trustworthy quality products.
Well, let me just reintroduce because I'm so caught up in this conversation. I forgot to tell everyone that you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're talking this morning about social media influencers and the impact and power they have these days. I'm visiting with Britt Null, known for her Britt Space on YouTube. Lisa Nguyen, a Wichita native, huge following on TikTok for her spicy challenge videos. If you have questions for our two guests, maybe you want to get started in this line of work, 816-235-2888 is our number here, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. So taking on an agency to help you with some of these requests, that's a big step for you, I imagine, isn't it?
It is. And I've been a one-woman show for so long. I did everything. And it took a lot for me to even hire a videographer because I felt like I was giving some creative control away. But I realized I need to delegate a lot of things. I'm building a business. Basically, mm-hmm. I need to get an assistant. I need to delegate this brand deal stuff as well.
Britt was saying she was working at least 40 hours a week, and it sounds like you were doing that and maybe more too.
Yeah, I mean, even on the plane last night, to and from my locations, I'm editing on the plane, things like that. It can be very consuming, and I need to be better at setting boundaries, but it's just so fun at the same time.
Yeah.
I just love eating food and documenting the process.
We talked about editing before with Britt. How important is the editing process for what you do? Because it struck me again as central, just watching some of your vids last night.
Yeah, it's very important, especially in this day and age when you need to create shorter videos because people's time, like attention spans are getting shorter and shorter.
And some of your videos are really short.
Yeah, they're 60 seconds or less most of the time. But you're trying to fit a certain amount of information within that time frame. So you got to create the hook. Why are they going to invest that 60 seconds in watching your video? Once they get hooked, then you got to create the journey, the story. So the editing process, you have to be very careful with it to make sure what you experience, you can relay that into the video format.
We have an email here, a new study published by influencer marketing company IZEA, if I'm saying that right, shows there are more women than men influencers, but that they earn 30% less than men per post. Britt, you're shaking your head. How frustrating is that for you to hear all that?
Very frustrating. And it's,
does that ring true to you?
Oh, heck yeah. And then as a woman of color and being, that's another layer too. We do get paid less. So yeah.
Hey, do you compare what you're getting with, you have other people you can sort of message and ask, what are you getting for this? And so you know this to be true.
I totally have done that. I have other friends in the industry, and actually, funny story, there was one of my friends, we both had an offer for the same campaign, for the same sponsorship, exact same thing. Totally different rate, totally different.
And yeah, we also have number similar of followers.
Yeah, we also have the similar number of followers, because that's also a deciding factor. And we both were shocked. Like, it was a lot different. Like,
How did you handle that?
I turned it down.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you confront them? You say, hey, you're offering my buddy this much more?
No, because I do like to keep a certain level of professionalism. So I'm not going to let them know that I did that. But I did let them know it was due to the rate and how low it was, and that I just wasn't comfortable partnering. And that was it.
That's so interesting. I imagine turning some of these offers down, I mean, it's money, potentially big money in your pocket, Britt. Is that tough?
It gets a lot easier when you've been in the game for a while. So I've been doing this for about 10 years. And yeah. I will say in the beginning, it's like you see the money. You're like, oh, I can just do this. But when you do a couple posts that don't sit right with you, and I feel like if you've been in the game long enough, you live and you learn. And so I know early on, there are a few things sponsored things that I was like, ugh. I didn't love how that felt. And so from then on, I was like, I'm only going to do things that I can stand behind, that I use, and with brands that I actually think are doing good things.
Yeah. Lisa, you came up with the name. One of your brands is Telehue Food. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's actually how I started the whole video journey. Telehue Food was the brand I used to go to restaurants and feature the family-owned restaurants. I did a ton in Kansas City, actually, because they took off so much. And I'm actually rebranding Telehue Food. But we're going to continue representing those restaurants throughout the country and the world.
You know, at one point in your life, it might seem like a long time ago now, you were a paralegal.
I was.
And then you made the jump into influencing. When did you do that, and how big a leap was that for you?
I did that back in 2018. I had the idea in my head. I just thought, I just don't think I could do this every single day for the rest of my life. And at that time, restaurants didn't have social media presence yet. They were mainly on Facebook. There was no Instagram. There were no video. There's not much video content. And I thought I could go out there, shoot the video for them, post it on my page, and it could be a symbiotic like relationship.
Yeah. Britt, again, another question on Twitter. What impact do influencers have on the younger generation? Is this something you keep in mind as you're doing your work?
I do. I've been asked to speak at like schools before for like career day. And it used to be kind of laughable, like, oh, this isn't a career. But it is a career. It's 1,000% career. So I would say to younger people that are wanting to do this, go for it. But see it as a job if you want to do it full time. Treat it as a job.
But there is a sense in the industry that once upon a time, young people wanted to be astronauts or U.S. presidents. And these days, the surveys show, they want to be social media influencers. That's an amazing thing.
I think it is an amazing thing. I think that it's a real job. And I think that now maybe people are realizing that it is a real job, just like being a doctor or whatever. I mean, maybe it's not on the same level, but it's a real job, and it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of creativity.
How about you, Lisa? I'm wondering about the younger generation and what responsibility you feel there.
I feel a pretty big responsibility when I hear that. I always want to portray, like, I always want to be make sure I'm being authentic, but also it's helped me be a better person, too, just implementing better morals and stuff into my life, just knowing that there is a younger generation out there watching.
It's a pretty interesting world. Is it all that it's cracked up to be?
And more.
And more.
Yeah.
Okay, you say the same thing, Britt?
It depends.
Depends.
It depends on what people are cracking it up to be. But yeah, as a general rule, it's a positive line of work, and it's fun, and it's flexible, and you get to be creative.
Well, that's great. That's the voice of Britt Null, again, known for her Britt Space on YouTube. Lisa Wynn also joined us, a Wichita native. She's done a lot of work here in Kansas City. 1.6 million followers on TikTok. Just amazing. Hey, good luck to both of you, and thanks for sharing with us a little bit about what you do. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
That's it for today. You've been listening to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. We'll see you tomorrow. Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.